Good morning. This is the day that the Lord has made, and I will rejoice and be glad in it. I hope that you are able to rejoice in this day as well. I know for me, some joys this week is that my family, we are finally able to close on our new home. That's the good news. Unfortunately, it was supposed to be the beginning of the week. It ended up at the end of the week, so our actual moving in is delayed, but we are rejoicing that the sale is complete. Again, I hope that you do have joys that you have in your week as well. And again, we want to offer a welcome to those here in person and to those joining us by Zoom. I'm sorry, not Zoom. Streaming, YouTube. We're all going to have to get used to the new changes. Two quick announcements for today. Following this service, there will be coffee hour time on Zoom. That's why I'm thinking about Zoom. We are still using Zoom for coffee hour. So when this service completes, switch over to the Zoom account. Those that are here, you can join in from your homes. It will go a little while because it goes directly from coffee hour into adult forum. So please do join for that. Probably about 10:30, maybe a couple minutes after, depending. We'll get started with the adult forum time. So please do join for that. Brian Listini will be speaking on behalf of the Green Team this week. We will be doing this once a month, is the plan for now, with Adult Forum. There's also afternoon, 5 o'clock, outdoor communion service. So please, if you feel comfortable, join us outside, and we will have a short communion service, probably about 20 minutes at about 5 o'clock. And those are the key announcements for today. I now invite you to rise as you are able, and we will begin our service with the brief order for confession and absolution. And so we return to the waters of our baptism to remember God's grace. And so let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors or families or friends as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us. Free us from the urge to speak with haste, offending those we fail to fully understand. Let our words always honor your wondrous love, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us. And for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Christ, have mercy.
Let us pray. Beloved God, from you come all things that are good. Lead us by the inspiration of your Spirit to know those things that are right. And by your merciful guidance, help us to do them. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. I invite the congregation to be seated. Children, it is your time now. Good morning. Good morning, children. It is so good to have this time with you. Let me try something. See if you remember those that were paying attention a couple weeks ago, since we missed last week, which was too bad. But let's try this. The Lord be with you. You might remember, yes, when someone in church says, "The Lord be with you," in church, people want to respond, "and also with you." So if I say to you, "The Lord be with you," you can say back, "The Lord be with you." And when you pray in your family, you can do the same thing. Now, I want to talk about something else that we do at church that might seem a little strange. See, we remember that when we talk about the Lord be with you, we're remembering that God is with us. But it's more than just that God's anywhere, but there's something very special that God does, that Jesus comes to our hearts. Through the cross, Jesus made us his own. And so we remember the cross. And so sometimes you might see me do this. And when that happens, lots of other people will go like this. What we're doing is making the sign of the cross. We have a big cross here, a big cross above us, but it's not just out there. The cross is with us. The cross comes into our hearts. So when I do this, then you can make the sign of the cross. I say the cross of Christ is here with us, making us God's own, and you can say that's with me too. I'm part of that. God cares about me. And so when we make that sign, that's what we're remembering. But I'll tell you a secret. I forget how to do it sometimes. I get mixed up what order. It took me a long time. I used to get really nervous in worship because I was like, all right, do I go this way or which one goes first? So here's what I remember. If we look high, God's with us. If we look low, God is with us. If we go far, God is with us. If we go near, God is with us. So high, low, far, near. You don't have to do it that way. Really, any way we do it, it's still we remember that we're loved. But usually people do it that way. So I go like this with a big one, and you respond by high, low, far, near. So let's try that. The Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you so much.
The first reading is from Isaiah. The prophet sings a sad, parable love song about the relationship between God and Israel. In this song, Israel is compared to a promising vineyard. Despite God's loving care, the vineyard that is Israel has brought forth wild grapes of injustice and distress, when fine grapes of justice and righteousness were expected. Let me sing for my beloved my love song concerning his vineyard. My beloved had a vineyard on a very fertile hill. He dug it and cleared it of stones and planted it with choice vines. He built a watchtower in the midst of it and hewed out a wine vat in it. He expected it to yield grapes, but it yielded wild grapes. And now, inhabitants of Jerusalem and people of Judah, judge between me and my vineyard. What more was there to do for my vineyard that I have not done in it? When I expected it to yield grapes, why did it yield wild grapes? And now I will tell you what I will do with my vineyard. I will remove its hedge, and it shall be devoured. I will break down its wall, and it shall be trampled down. I will make it a waste. It shall not be pruned or hoed, and it shall be overgrown with briars and thorns. I will also command the clouds that they rain no rain upon it. For the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel, and the people of Judah are his pleasant planting. He expected justice, but saw bloodshed. Righteousness, but heard a cry. The word of the Lord.
Look down from heaven, O God, behold and tend this vine. Restore us, O God of hosts, let your face shine upon us and we shall be saved. You have brought a vine out of Egypt, you cast out the nations and planted it. You cleared the ground for it, it took root and filled the land. The mountains were covered by its shadow, and the towering cedar trees by its boughs. Look down from heaven, O God, behold and tend this vine. You stretched out its tendrils to the sea and its branches to the river. Why have you broken down its wall so that all who pass by pluck off its grapes? The wild boar of the forest has ravaged it, and the beasts of the field have grazed upon it. Turn now, O God of hosts, look down from heaven. Behold and tend this vine. Preserve what your right hand has planted. Look down from heaven, O God. Behold and tend this vine.
The second reading is from Philippians. Paul reviews some of his supposed credentials, which no longer have any bearing in comparison to the right relationship he has been given through the death of Christ. The power of Christ's resurrection motivates him to press on toward the ultimate goal, eternal life with Christ. Paul writes, "If anyone else has reason to be confident in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day, a member of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew born of Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee, as to zeal, a persecutor of the church, as to righteousness under the law, blameless. Yet whatever gains I had, these I have come to regard as loss because of Christ. More than that, I regard everything as loss because of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake I have suffered the loss of all things, and I regard them as rubbish, in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but one that comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God, based on faith. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the sharing of his suffering by becoming like him in death, if somehow I may attain the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained this or have already reached the goal, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Beloved, I do not consider that I have made it on my own, but this one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. I press on toward the goal for the prize of the heavenly call of God in Jesus Christ. The word of the Lord.
Alleluia, 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 alleluia. Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Alleluia, 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 alleluia.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, chapter 21. Jesus said to the leaders, "Listen to another parable. There was a landowner who planted a vineyard, put a fence around it, dug a wine press in it, and built a watchtower. Then he leased it to tenants and went to another country. When the harvest time had come, he sent his slaves to the tenant to collect his produce. But the tenants seized his slaves and beat one, killed another, and stoned another. Again, he sent other slaves, more than the first, and they treated them in the same way. Finally, he sent his son to them, saying, 'They will respect my son.' But when the tenants saw the son, they said to themselves, 'This is the heir. Come, let us kill him and get his inheritance.' So they seized him, threw him out of the vineyard, and killed him. Now when the owner of the vineyard comes, what will he do to those tenants?" They said to him, "He will put those wretches to a miserable death and lease the vineyard to other tenants who will give him the produce at the harvest time." Jesus said to them, "Have you never read in the scriptures, 'The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone? This was the Lord's doing, and it is amazing in our eyes.' Therefore, I tell you, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people that produces the fruits of the kingdom. The one who falls on this stone will be broken to pieces, and it will crush anyone on whom it falls." When the chief priests and the Pharisees heard his parables, they realized he was speaking about them. They wanted to arrest him, but they feared the crowds because they regarded him as a prophet. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. I invite the congregation to be seated. I've lived in quite a few great sports areas. I've lived in Baltimore, Pittsburgh, Cleveland, Atlanta, the college football in Columbus, Ohio, the high school Friday Night Lights in West Texas. I've lived in all of those places. I used to live in a mile and a half from the New York Jets training center. My high school in Maryland and our crosstown rivals, the high school, are regularly listed as one of the 10 best high school rivalries in the country. I've lived in some of the best sports places in the country. But I have to admit that none of that has prepared me for these past few weeks and the intensity of Philadelphia sports fans. The level of passion and attention to detail has astounded me. It's really quite amazing, the level of passion. And since July, I have been working to have a reasonable semblance to being a Phillies and a Sixers fan, though they've both been rather frustrating to watch this year. But during the call process, I mentioned that I could get behind those teams. I follow those sports. I like that. I'm happy my teams were not very good, so I can adopt those teams. But I'm not really a big football fan, so I'm not planning to root for the Eagles. Well, after I said that, the next time I was here, I was just sitting here for a little bit, Charlie Lang walks up behind me, sticks an Eagles face mask in my lap. That's evangelism. I'll admit that I've worn it a few times, and it changes the way people respond. So, Philadelphia sports fans are really intense. There's passion for sports, and in many ways, that's a great thing. It can bring a community together. It focuses the energy. It gives an outlet for that competitive spirit that we have. That's all good. But there's also the reality that a big part of sports is that we can then have enemies, those rival teams that we can't stand. We can even say we hate that team. Having grown up an Orioles fan, I never quite got comfortable living in Yankees territory. And especially the day that my then 4-year-old son walked up to me and asked for a Yankees shirt. That tore my heart out. So there's nothing wrong with a good rivalry. But we can see in that just how quickly we latch into dividing between my team and the others, or the enemies. On its own, that's rarely a problem. Like I said, I love sports, it's good. But it does show us a little of something that points to something deeper and more troubling in our human nature, of how easily we turn everything into insiders, outsiders, my people and others, us and them. And that can quickly turn into truly hating. Because once we've done that, we can go to truly seeing those others as enemies, as different. It can even lead to violence, and often does. There's no shortage of examples of bloodshed in our world, of an us versus them. Our gospel reading today is one of the more violent parables that Jesus tells, one of the really violent passages of Scripture, one that's quite troubling in the violence that it shows. Now, we might remember that last week we heard Jesus encountering the chief priests and the elders in the temple in Jerusalem, and they were questioning his authority. This parable comes immediately after. It's the same conversation, just a continuation. And so Jesus tells this parable about a landowner who builds a nice vineyard, leases it out to tenants to work the land. But the tenants then kill everyone that the landowner sends to collect the proper payment. The tenants even kill the landowner's son. And so Jesus ends this parable by asking the chief priests and the elders, when the owner of the vineyard comes, what will he do to those tenants? Now, I have no doubt that in this situation, everyone in that conversation was aware of the Isaiah 5 passage that we read this morning. Because Jesus quotes from Isaiah more than any other part of Scripture. And the leaders would have been quite familiar with these scriptures too, and probably picked up on that allusion. So Jesus is referring back to Isaiah here, I'm sure of it. And there's a lot of interesting things in that Isaiah reading, quite a few things worth looking into. But the key point of it is that God created the world to be a blessing, to be a pleasant blessing of building up of one another, for human community to enrich each other's lives. And instead, the world is full of bloodshed, of humanity creating enemies among one another and turning to violence against them. And God is angry about the way that humans hurt one another. And Isaiah expects that God is ready to bring about destruction, that God is just done with it and saying, I'm going to lay waste to it all. So when Jesus asked the chief priests, the elders, what will happen with this landowner? They say, the landowner will put those wretches to a miserable death. In their view, the tenants have made clear that they are enemies of the landowner, and violence is needed to stop the violence. And again, this is Isaiah's judgment as well. Now, I can't disagree that the tenants have acted as enemies and violently. This is clearly true. This is our world where we have bloodshed all the time and violence leads to violence. But expecting more violence is a classic human way, a divide between the insiders and outsiders, a way that leads to enemies and more violence. Notice that Jesus does not confirm or deny their answer. Instead, he changes the reference. he switches from a reference to Isaiah to quoting a psalm, Psalm 118 to be precise. And that's a psalm of praise and thanksgiving, a psalm about trusting in the ways of God rather than in human ways. It says that the rejected stone, the outsider, has become the cornerstone. That is, God is doing something new. God is not going to follow the violent ways of humanity. Jesus switches the terms to talk in a different way than the way it's always been done. In Christ, God is building a new way of relating, a new community, a community of peace and inclusion, not a community that creates insiders and outsiders, a community that is rooted in Christ and in love for our neighbors. This is the fruit of the kingdom built on the cornerstone of Christ. The invitation that we have from Christ to live in this new community, not the human way of thinking of us and them, that turns into a deep divide, that becomes enemies and turns into violence. Instead, Christ is inviting us to think differently, to follow his way. That cycle of violence, getting more violence, has been around for millennia. It goes around and around and doesn't get better. It's deeply rooted in our human nature. But Jesus stops the cycle of violence. Rather than coming to destroy, God came into the world to build it anew. God accepts Jesus takes on the violence of the world on the cross, and in the resurrection, shows a new way. Rather than coming to destroy, God came into the world to build, to model a new way of relating, to save not through violent division, but loving service. The way to do this was to become the outsider, to be the rejected one, because Jesus rejects the divisions that lead to violence. In the resurrection, we see that the rejected one is the exalted one. The way of love is the way of God, the fruit of the kingdom. Jesus is that cornerstone of a way of living that the Holy Spirit beckons us to follow. The Holy Spirit calls us past the divisions that we think are impassable, the divisions that lead us into hatred and violence, to love those around us that people around us think are unlovable, to be gracious with the ungracious, to reject the cycles that lead to violence before it gets to the point of violence. Isaiah is right that the world was created to be a blessing, but in reality, it's full of bloodshed. That is a good analysis of the world. And his answer is that God must be planning to wipe the slate clean and start over by laying waste to the world. Jesus takes up what Isaiah is saying, but shows that that's not God's answer. God's answer is not destruction, but to build an alternative, to offer a redeeming path of new life in him. To follow that path means to follow Jesus, to not get caught up in the ways that the world divides people, but to connect with compassion for those on the outside. That's the way of Jesus. Now, does this mean giving up all of our sports rivalries? No. But again, recognize the difference between healthy rivalries and the way that leads to hatred. Where do you take pleasure in being an insider? When you do that, are you aware of the outsiders and the gifts that they might bring? There's nothing wrong with having a place that you belong, where you feel, this is my space. It's a wonderful, healthy thing. We all need it. We need identity. But what is the foundation that we build that identity on? Is it fear? Rejection of others? Or is it on the call to love? Is it founded in the Holy Spirit leading you to follow Christ, the cornerstone of the world? Christ is this cornerstone of the new way of life, the alternative, the Christian life, the path of love. He beckons us to build our lives on him. So let's get building. Amen. I invite the congregation to rise as you are able for our time of prayer. With confidence in God's grace and mercy, let us pray for the church, the world, and all of those in need. We pray for those convalescing, homebound, and all affected by isolation. For our first responders, military members and their families, doctors, nurses, medical technicians seeking a cure, all essential workers, those working tirelessly, serving their neighbors and keeping us safe. Today we pray especially for Dave Freck, Sue Haubecker, Brian Schultz, and those we name now silently in our hearts or aloud on our lips. Bring healing and relief to all, and give us hope in the promise of new and eternal life, where pain and suffering will be no more.
Our silent response today is, hear our prayer. Holy God, you call us to work for peace and justice in your vineyard. Refresh the church with your life, that we may bear fruit through work and service. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Thank you for the abundant harvest of the earth. Bless and care for those whose hands bring the fruits of the earth to the tables of all who hunger. May we be inspired by your servants who care deeply for your creation. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Curb the impulses of greed and pride that lead us to take advantage of others. Grant that the world leaders seek the fruits of the kingdom for the good and welfare of all people. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Sustain all who suffer with the promise of new life. Assured of your presence, heal our pain and suffering, and equip us to embrace all bodies aching for wholeness of mind, body, and soul. We call to mind those who are struggling today. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We pray for all managers in our community and for all who seek employment. Give hope and a future to those who lack meaningful work, those who have been marginalized or abused in the workplace, and those who desire new opportunities. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Thank you for the saints who teach us to live faithfully in your vineyard. May our chorus join theirs until our labor is complete. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer.
Listen as we call on you, O God, and enfold in your loving arms all for whom we pray. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
And also with you.
Let us share a sign of peace. Peace be with you. Peace to you. Peace to you. Let us also remember to take a moment to offer our lives, ourselves, our time, our possessions, our service to God's, the service of God's kingdom. And now we pray in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Live your lives in Christ, rooted and built up in him, and abound in thanksgiving. And the blessing of the Holy Trinity, one God, be upon you and remain with you forever. Amen.
There are a couple of reminders. Please take your bulletin with you. You depart the sanctuary by any rear door. Observe social distancing and move to the parking lot where you can safely greet each other outside. Go in peace. Christ is with you. Thanks be to God.
Hallelujah.